may be thicker than water, but it can't stand up to grease.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, how much can we blame or maybe thank the troubles in Greece for a 20% drop in oil prices? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow up 66 points at 12,028. The Nasdaq up about 0.6% right now. And the S&P 500 up 0.8%. The Prime Minister of Greece replaced his finance minister this morning, and that's in a bid to get the support he needs to pass big budget cuts. Oil prices are lower on that news, down around $93 a barrel in New York trading this morning. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial. He's with us from New York to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Chris, oil prices are down this morning. They're down 20% from last month. That can't all be Greece, can it?
It's partly Greece, sure, but it's also because the dollar's stronger. And when the dollar's stronger, that means we can buy more goods that are produced overseas, including oil.
So as policymakers try to figure out how to get oil prices down, is the best way to just strengthen the dollar?
It might be. And in fact, I think that's part of the change of heart at the Fed. You know, Ben Bernanke came out and said the other day he may not want to print more dollars. And it's partly because the strong dollar helps.
Chris, just quickly, when do you think we'll actually start to feel these lower oil prices at the gas pump?
We're already beginning to see it, but it's going to take a while for this oil to get to the refineries. I think we're going to see lower prices for another month at least, even just reflecting where oil is today.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, today in Saudi Arabia, a social media campaign has sparked a nationwide protest. Women are not allowed to drive in that country, and they often have to pay for expensive taxis to get to work. Well, today they are driving in defiance of the rules, and men are reportedly dressing up as women to confuse the authorities. Dr. Fauzia Al-Bakr is a professor at King Saud University, and she's with us now from Riyadh. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, tell us what's going on there today across Saudi Arabia.
It's an interesting day today because women around Saudi Arabia are trying to organize, you know, a movement to go out and drive. I'll drive my car. That's the slogan of this day.
Tell us about the role that social media has played in this movement today.
Huge, definitely, and especially that Saudi Arabia provide a lot of communications, the infrastructure for communication. And about 95% of the people have mobile phones which connected to the internet. The Saudis spend about 132 minutes every single day using the internet, more than what they watch TV or listen to the radio.
Do you think any major changes will come of this protest?
I don't know. We've been saying this for the last 20 years, and every time we said, okay, it's coming, but it's not coming. There is definitely nothing in religion, Islamic religion, prevent women from driving. But then maybe some people find it socially unacceptable, and that's fine. We're talking here about freedom of choice. Nobody will be forced to drive. But if I want to drive, I should have the right to drive if I want to.
Dr. Fauzia Al-Bakr is a professor of education at King Saud University in Riyadh. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
The movie Green Lantern launches in theaters nationwide today and in 15 markets overseas this weekend. It'll be in 3D in most places, but the whole 3D thing doesn't really impress our next guest. Peter Bart is the author of a new book called Infamous Players, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, your new book, you talk about your time as executive at Paramount Pictures in the 60s and 70s. When you walk around Hollywood now, is there anything that's still run the same way as it was back then?
Absolutely nothing is run the same way. The whole business plan is different. One reason I wrote the book was to remind people that you expected an experience. You expected movies that would change the way you think about movies, you know? And today, basically, when kids go to movies, they expect to see movies they've seen before. Another Hangover, another Kung Fu Panda. So it's a repetitive experience rather than a questing one.
It's not just a good old days argument that people make that things were always better before.
No, I don't think things were always better before. You know, technologically, movies are extraordinarily superior today than they were then. But today, you blast an audience with a $150 million ad campaign worldwide, and you basically tell people what to see. And more of the emphasis of Hollywood is on that foreign audience. 65% of the audience is foreign, and that's what motivates what people decide to make.
How much did you care about foreign audiences back when you were at Paramount?
Zero. It was never even thought of. Interesting phenomenon, though, is the 3D pictures. The case of some of the 3D movies, more than half of the audience is opting to see the 2D version. So I think you're going to see more and more 3D, but I think they'll be done more skillfully. I think, frankly, the first couple of years of 3D is an exercise in schlockdom.
Was there anything like 3D that you could have seen as a fad or the next big thing back when you were at Paramount?
Yeah, there were always gimmicks being tried, you know, seats that shook and aromas that were put out into the audience. But nonetheless, the emphasis was try to make movies that were engrossing. Those of us who were involved in running studios actually asked ourselves, do I want to see this movie? And that would be a good motivation for causing it to be made. That ain't true today.
Peter Bart, author of Infamous Players and editorial director of Variety, thanks so much for coming in.
You bet.
And finally, yet another reminder that the computer is not always right. In Bellevue, Washington, a driver followed the directions of the rental car GPS device right down a boat launch and into a lake. She got out okay and told police she made the mistake while waiting for the GPS to recalculate the route.
Recalculating.
Exactly. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
It's not just professionals at the U.S. Open hitting the links this weekend. Can the president and the speaker enjoy a round of bipartisanship?
Somewhere between number one and number 18, you find time to bring up what you need to bring up, and it works.
Or not. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Congressional Golf Caucus, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news as well, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.